Good morning. I talked to Alan about this lesson, Dare to Stand Like Joshua. And I said to Alan, I would like to have a song, that song, sung. And he said, you want it sung first or last? I said, I want it sung both of them, if you want to. Then I sent him a text and said, you just choose. So you got one. You ever considered that abstract leadership's one aspect that the world needs? As a believer in covenant with Jesus Christ, we recognize in the biblical leadership can be found in the Bible in a lot of biblical characters. True leadership has the characteristics of people who can stand for what's right when all around them is covered with wrong. You can't trust like you used to could trust. I will not be eating any Chinese food anyway soon because I don't know where it's floated around from. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I've seen a bunch of dumb rocks, but that's a dumb rock. Concerning leadership, the greatest want of the world is the want of men who will not be bought and sold, and who in their innermost souls are true and honest, men who do not fear to call sin by its rightful name, men whose conscience is true to duty, and men who will stand for that which is right under any circumstance. Is that the kind of people you want to deal with? You don't have to agree with each other on everything, but I'll tell you what, when it comes to the biblical witness, we have to come together and say, we are one. There are things in the Bible, as Paul himself said, some things are difficult. We've hit difficult over the years, and we will again. But difficulty, if you want to know, and I think this is a true statement, difficulty can do one of two things. It can send you packing, or it can make you start looking inside to find the real thing. And when you do find the real thing, you find Jesus Christ right in the middle of it. So it's going to be helpful if we take a look at Joshua and his leadership. The Bible stated that Joshua was one of the great men, and in this lesson, he is the leader of Israel. Now listen, when you say leader of Israel, you are the head chicken in the whole country, our nation, if you will. That's a big job. The Bible said that Joshua was one of God's great men, and his leadership proves that. His greatness as a leader didn't start one day when somebody said, hey, we need you to lead this. His greatness was way before he ever became a leader because he was willing to start with small things and grow up into the big stuff. His greatness as a leader started way before he ever became a leader, and he was willing to start, like he should, with small things and grow into it. How many of you like to eat an apple? I love apples. Unless you're just a glutton, you can't eat a whole apple in one bite. What do you have to do? You have to chomp, chew, chomp, chew, finally. Then you start scratching it, you know. That's the way leadership is. You start small, you end up big. Joshua, as a young man, started his career as a soldier, and in the latter years had become more wise and helpful to the nation, and God chose him then, listen to this, to replace Moses. Moses was a huge character in the Old Testament, yes or no? And when this boy comes along and takes himself and puts it in the shoes of Moses, that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. He was chosen to lead the Israelites to the land of Canaan, which was known as the Promised Land. The Bible says that Joshua lived 110 years, and there was three phases, if we look at this, in his life. First, he spent 45 years prior to the Exodus from Egypt. So he was in that before the Exodus. He spent 40 years with Moses. And then he spent 25 years as the leader of the Israelites. That guy had a big job for a long time. God had chosen Joshua because he was one among the two people in all the Israelites who were born in Egypt. One of two of the Israelites. All of the Israelites, only two of them were born in Egypt. That's important. And that makes him even more able to reach Canaan beside Caleb. The other Israelites, as you remember, died in the wilderness on their way to Canaan. The other Israelites, as you remember, died in the wilderness on their journey. Joshua and Caleb became the leaders according to God, and God appointed them that. They were the only two among all that could really do the job that God called to do. Joshua had a gift, and that gift was faith. Can God give people faith? Can we grow faith? I mean, if I trust God and I believe Him, can I not grow out of that? Grow from it? Grow with it? Joshua had the gift of faith, and he had the ability in that to grab hold and to be the guy that would honor God in everything he did. This faith is peculiar to his leadership as the leader of the Israelites. In the course of his leadership as leader of the Israelites, when God told Joshua to cross the Jordan River, he didn't qualm. He didn't say, oh, but, or we can't do that. He quickly set up a plan, even though he didn't have any guide. How would you like to make a plan for the Exodus with all the people that were there and not really know what to do? Who would you ask if you had to ask? God Almighty. Does God still speak? Yeah. It'd be wise if we listen about this faith thing. Listen to this. Concerning Joshua, the only thing that boy had was faith, and this faith that he had was his gift to God. How honoring is that for God to work with you, and then you give him honor through that? And this gift, it was given to all who love God, and they followed Him, and our faith is also, in our day and time, a gift from God. In Joshua 1:10-11, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go to the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, cross Jordan here and go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Notice how the text says the Lord your God is giving you. Don't go in there thinking you did it. Who's in charge here? God Almighty. They were successful because God, when they started to march out in all of the wet and all of that, He made the river dry up. Now, if you ever had to go across a river, anybody in here ever swam across Red River? Well, you're smart not to do that. But it's swift in a lot of places. You can become graveyard dead trying to pull that stunt. God made the water dry up. What would that do? That lets them walk across on dry land. The leader needs this kind of firmness and assurance in God and claiming His promises. Joshua was a leader that was willing to help and was one of the few who had the willingness to help others. He didn't just take care of himself. He took care of other people in the process. When the Gibeonites, they were bad, wet, or dry. This was a nasty little old bunch of people, these Gibeonites. When the Gibeonites were attacked by the Amorites and the other nations, they came and asked help from Joshua. Joshua immediately helped them, and even though he was deceived by them sometime before, the Gibeonites pulled a stunt on Joshua, and Joshua let it ride, basically. The Gibeonites are one of those nations that were located on the west side of the Jordan, similar to the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Jebusites. When the Gibeonites heard that the Israelites had conquered Jericho and Ai, they were terrified and they refused to attack Israel, giving Israel and Joshua a very needed break. Joshua 9:3-6, however, when the people of Gibeon heard Joshua had done in Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a rouse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks, old wineskins, cracked and mended. They're looking like they're poor as a snake. They put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp in Gilgal and said to him and the Israelites, "We have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." These people are not looking good. They're trying to pull a trick. "Our elders and all those living in the country said to us, 'Take provisions for your journey, go meet them and say to them, we are your servants, make ready with this treaty.' Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them and let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it with an oath." Now, the Gibeonites were nasty. Can't trust them. Joshua was a faithful man of God. And in doing his job, he kept his promise that he made to his own enemy, the Gibeonites. I'm going to tell you what. If you got a man that is so honorable that he makes a pledge with what he knew was not right in that nation, and he protected them, that's a good guy. That's a guy after God's own heart. Joshua was a prayerful leader in the sight of God and a prayerful leader before his people. Joshua 10:12-13, "On that day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel. Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, 'Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you moon over the valley of Ajalon.' So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself of its enemies, as written in the book of Jasher." The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down a full day. There are astrologers who looks in big telescopes and way back, and there is a day missing. But would you expect that to be? There's never been a day like it before or since. A day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all of Israel to the camp of Gilgal. This story mentions that God answers the prayer of Joshua. The sun stopped a full day in the middle of the sky. This does not happen. It has never happened in history before or since. This gives the Israelites enough time to defeat their enemies, and God answers the prayer of Joshua because he is faithful to God, to his nation, and even to the crooked Gibeonites that he made a promise to. Joshua was a sincere, humble leader in that, and he showed his sincerity and his humbleness in the middle of the Israelites. In the beginning, Joshua was just an ordinary man. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible for somebody to walk in this room that we wouldn't know from Adam all fox? Okay? Somebody we don't know where they come from. We don't know anything about them. Is it possible with God that he could bring that guy into a fold like this? Into a pasture that's full of grass and full of nutrients and full of calmness. Do you know God can control anything he chooses to do? When there's evil in this world and people say, I just don't understand why God allows evil. Well, if you go back to the beginning, God started the human family with two, didn't he? A man and a woman. And in some time, they had children. And after some time of raising those children got a little out of line. And the whole thing is a fight from there to the end. And God is still hanging on, waiting for those who will say and surrender themselves and say, I want to be like Joshua. I want to stand upright. I want to do that which is right. Lord, I'll make plenty of mistakes, but my heart says and my mind says, I want to do right. I want it done right. Toward the end of his life, Joshua gives a challenge to the Israelites when he said, this is in Joshua 23:14, Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. What did he just say? I'm going to be dead. You know with all your heart and your soul that not one of all of the good promises the Lord your God gave you has ever failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. If God Almighty tells you to come into a covenant, repent, be baptized for the remission of your sins, join the covenant through baptism where Jesus washes you clean. How clean do you stay? Who made you clean? You didn't. Well, you should have seen me that day. I was really decked out. I had really nice clothes and I gave myself to Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you what, Jesus was often in rags and he gave himself for us. And it don't matter whether we're red, white, brown, whatever. It don't matter. What matters is the heart and the covenant and a God who will not relent. If God tells you he will do something, he'll do it. There's no better guide than God. One version says this, Lord has a great work to be done in our world. To every man, he has given his work for man to do. But man is not to make man his guide, lest he be led astray. It's always unsafe. I don't know what version of the Bible that is, but it certainly sounds pretty good to me. Joshua's victory was this. You shall meditate upon the word of God day and night. Now, who is it that's supposed to do that? If you're supposed to do that, raise your hand. That's what we're called to do. Well, that Bible's hard to read. It is hard to read. It is hard to read. What if it takes you a year to read through it? What else you got to do? What do you have better to do? What if it takes 2 years? Are you still in progress? Yeah, you're moving on. I would certainly say this. If I put myself, ragged as I am, as inefficient as I sometimes am, I'm still in the covenant. And as long as I stay in that covenant, I have no fear. Do I mess up and will I again? Yes. Because I've taught some of you how to mess up and some of you've taught me how to mess up. But together we're a mess. But in the covenant, the light that shines is not a shine from me. This little light of mine, you know, that's not me. My light is my Redeemer. And I know that my Redeemer lives.